The Lord be with you.
It is good to have you in the Lord's house on this beautiful, beautiful day that He has given to us. The gifts of the Lord abound in many and various ways, and in some ways, it is really, really wet. And so we give thanks, even for those gifts that make it no fun to leave the house. And because of what is coming from the sky, and what we're supposed to have happen tomorrow, we are going to skip table talk for the month, because by the time tomorrow evening hits, if it's snowy and icky and all of that nastiness stuff, it's probably best to be hunkered down at home rather than trying to get out of downtown Grass Valley. So we are going to skip for the month, because next week, you know, we might be in the same situation. So but we are planning on Wine and the Word at this point, Tuesday night, Wine and the Word. We'll play that by ear as well. If something goes sideways, we'll update you on that. So we're planning on continuing our discussion of angels and all the crazy stuff that we picked up last week, if you want to come and drop in on the fun, 7 o'clock social hall. Sweetheart brunch next Sunday, though, that is still on. Stay tuned to your local email and phone for any updates on that as well. Other than that, the service is before you. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed, and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. "Don't preach to me," the teenager says. "Well, pardon me for preaching," you say when you get called out for being on your soapbox a little too long. Preaching gets a bad name, doesn't it? And the dictionary is of no help. To preach, to give advice or urge a course of action, especially in a meddlesome or tedious manner. Well, great. This is my vocation. I'm a preacher. You don't hear the mechanic say, well, I'm sorry for fixing this engine, or the accountant say, pardon me for balancing the books. But preaching? That's a whole other story. I almost want to say, well, pardon me for preaching this morning, but I am standing in the pulpit, and this is the time for the sermon, and yes, I am a preacher. The prophet Jeremiah was called to preach, and he didn't have any choice in the matter. The Lord set him aside and consecrated him before he was even born. And ironically, Jeremiah has the biggest career crisis of any of the prophets. And it goes to show you that even if Almighty God hands you your vocation on a silver platter before you're born, it still won't be easy. In fact, it might be even more difficult since God already knew that you wouldn't take that assignment voluntarily. And Jeremiah's call was a tough one. Preach to a people who don't want to hear your message and don't want to have anything at all to do with you. Like any good sinner, Jeremiah tries to get out of it. I'm too young for it, he complains. Nobody's going to listen to me, he whines. You think it's all about the preacher, you know, the image, the style, the delivery, but it's not. At least not with the Lord's preachers. Then it's about the Word, the living and active Word of God that kills and makes alive, that never comes back empty, that creates, that upholds, that sustains. This is the Word that does what it says, that speaks light into darkness. And this Word is what Jeremiah brings as a preacher. The Lord God touches the prophet's lips and says, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. And with those words, the prophet will be set over the kingdoms and nations. He will pluck up and break down. He will destroy and overthrow. He will build and plant. All of it with nothing but the word of the Lord. And so Jesus came to preach. He preached in the synagogue at Nazareth, and the people almost threw him over the cliff because of it. He went to Capernaum, and he preached the word in the synagogue there. But unlike the synagogue at Nazareth, the congregation at Capernaum was astonished at the authority of Jesus' words. But Jesus isn't just another preacher delivering just another sermon. Jesus is the sermon. God's word in human flesh. He is God's sermon to the world. He was sent to preach the good news of the reign of God, the end of demonic terror, the end of disease and death, the end of condemnation of the law. And so it's the good news that you are pardoned, that your death sentence has been lifted forever. It's the good news that gives sight to the blind, that opens the ears of the deaf, that causes the mute to shout out with praise and thanksgiving. It is good news that finds its fulfillment in your hearing. When you hear that God is at peace with you for Jesus' sake, that your sins are forgiven by His blood, that you are free. Free from the commandments that condemn you, and the commandments do condemn you, even the one that you think you're pretty good at keeping. But you're free from the death that hounds you, that even though you die, yet you live in Christ by His power over death. You're free from the darkness and the demons that terrorize this world and might even terrorize you. You're free from the diseases that plague you, all of the effects of Adam's sin and humanity's sin and your own sin. Yes, you will get sick. And sometimes you'll get better, and sometimes you won't. One day, you will die. But Jesus has you covered. Nothing can harm you because he has your life in his hands. And all of this is given by the humble, lowly, preached Word of God. Words that are formed in mouths, words that vibrate eardrums. So never say, it's just words. Words are everything. Jesus is the Word, and his Word delivers divine authority and divine power. And you saw that power in the synagogue at Capernaum. They call for a sign in Nazareth. Remember that last week? Do for us in Nazareth what you did at Cana. But Jesus refuses. Yet in Capernaum, he doesn't refuse. The man comes in with an unclean spirit, a spirit that wants to create disorder, a spirit that confesses Jesus of Nazareth to be the Christ, to be the Holy One of God. The demons know their Lord, the demons know their Master, and they tremble. But Jesus would not let the demon preach in the synagogue. There would be no demonic sermon, even if it was the truth. And so with a word from Jesus' lips, the demon is silenced, he's cast out. A one-sentence rebuke, "Be silent and come out of him." And the demon obeys because Jesus is the Lord God Almighty. And so their amazement grows. This is preaching with power. He commands the unclean spirits and they come out. Well, of course they do. The devil is not in charge. Demons are no match for the Word of God made flesh in Jesus. They cower in fear before the Almighty. And so after the service is over, Jesus visits Simon Peter's mother-in-law. She couldn't be at church. She's sick with a fever. So he stands over her and rebukes the fever. Stop and think about that. He rebukes the fever just like it was a demon. Because diseases and demons are all cut from the same cloth. They are fallen stuff, the result of a life that's severed from God, which Jesus came to restore. And just as demons are forced to obey Jesus' word, so also must disease. And he rebukes her fever. He doesn't rebuke her. He doesn't tell her she should have taken better care of herself. She doesn't tell her she should have watched her diet. He rebukes the fever, and it left her. She is set free by the word of Jesus, free to get up from her bed, free to serve them, even on the Sabbath, a legal day of rest. Jesus is the Sabbath fulfilled, the Sabbath in the flesh. Sabbath means rest, and Christ Jesus is rest. Rest from demons, rest from disease, and rest from even death itself. Come to me, and I will give you rest, he said. And boy, did they ever come that Sabbath evening. They came out of all of the houses in Capernaum, bringing the sick and the frail and the demonized, and Jesus laid his hands on every single one of them and healed them. Even so, the demons tried to preach, "You are the Son of God." They wanted it known far and wide before Jesus died and rose. But like the fever, Jesus rebukes those preachy spirits. He silences them. They are not given to preach the kingdom. He is. And he's up all night, tending to the sick, tending to the demonized. He is the light that has come into the darkness, that the darkness cannot overcome. And by early morning, Jesus snuck out of town and into the wilderness, and the people follow him. "Please, please stay. Please don't leave us." But he has a mission. He had to preach. "I must preach the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well. I was sent." for this purpose, sent to preach the healing, the exercising, the displays of divine authority were all there to validate his preaching. It's all about the preaching and the hearing of the Word of God. That's how the kingdom of God comes to you. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come." And how does God answer your prayers? Small Catechism says, when the Word of God is preached in its truth and purity, and we, as the baptized, believing children of God, believe it and live holy lives according to it. Jesus preached in the synagogues of Judea. He preaches here today. His word of forgiveness, his renewing word of baptism, the feeding word of his supper. He preaches into your reluctant ears, dulled with the noise of this world, deaf by birth to the sound of his voice, distracted by the religious demons that want to show a show instead of death and resurrection. He preaches to you. He preaches for you. Good news. The kingdom of God has come to you. His death and his life are yours. Don't preach to me? Faith would never say that. Rather, faith says, preach to us, Lord. Please preach to us. And don't stop preaching to us until we rise to see your kingdom. Until then, preach the good news. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.